With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome into another season of the Podcastianos. We're back, Eric.
I got my jazz hands out. It's 2018. You know what that means?
Do I?
It means baseball is here soon. But don't get too excited. It's not going to be good baseball.
I'm Jordan Hall. He's Eric Wayne. And you say that, but I feel like the one goal for this show, for this year, is to try and keep this season fun for all of you Tigers fans out there. Does that feel like too much to ask of us?
Yeah, we're going to put the FU in fun this year. It's just going to be so good. We're going to have a good time whether you want to or not.
That's right. You don't really have a choice in the matter. If you're nope. Listening to us, you will have fun.
Yep.
So it's been a long time since we recorded the last time. I think it was before Christmas. It was our Ho 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 episode, which is most episodes for you, but and Tish. So how the heck have you been?
You know, I'm living my best life. I really am. I'm doing a lot of snow blowing these days and shivering.
Yeah, it's really funny. As many of you know, I live in Traverse City, which a lot of people consider South Canada. But you guys actually got blasted downstate with all of the snow and whatnot. And it's been sunny here the last like 3 or 4 days. We're the ones for once that made out without, you know, just getting absolutely blasted with snow. It's been nice.
Life's good and Michigan's pinky.
Yeah. I have in my notes to ask you, did you have a good winter? And then I thought to myself, like, in no way is winter over yet. So I'm not exactly sure why that's something that I would ask. Are you ready for spring? How about that?
Yeah. Yes. So Evan, our friend Evan Woodbury, and some of the other Tigers writers tweeted the first, you know, spring training pictures, and it just makes you happy. Like, spring might be coming. In one of the videos, I heard birds. Birds were chirping. Like life exists.
They do exist somewhere. Not here, yes. but somewhere.
Somewhere.
So I think it's really interesting. I feel like we can get into this a little bit in more depth later. So this is going to be a different season for us. This is our third year doing the show. And in each of the last 2 years, we went into the season with relative expectations of making the playoffs, maybe doing something when we're there. Less so last year, but certainly more the year before. It's going to be a very different mindset going into this year. Are you any less or maybe more excited for spring training than usual?
Well, I'm a nerd, right? We're diehards, or at least I am. Like, I hang on the Tigers no matter what, and I'm going to enjoy it no matter what. But, yeah, it doesn't have the punch of, you know, even thinking about maybe sneaking into a wild card spot or something like that. I mean, so many things would have to align for us to get even close to that. I mean, the most exciting part is you hope a couple of players play well so you can trade them off. It's like, oh, they're so good, and they're gone, you know. So it definitely has a different vibe. But I will tell you that an exceedingly bad team can be as much fun as a mediocre team.
I think a bad team can be more fun than a mediocre team. It's at least you're you have almost the comedy of, you know, the gallows humor of
yes,
what are we gonna do tonight? Yeah.
Exactly.
Which we had. So let's not lie. We had a points last year.
Many points last year. The last month of the season last year was poor.
But I, as many of you know, I'm coming into this season as excited as any other. We're gonna get to see a lot of our favorite pitchers work with a good, solid pitching coach that comes in with a good reputation. Like Gardy said today, we're gonna play the right way. You know, whatever that means. I last year's team I found to be extremely frustrating and just dull for the most part. Like, I don't think we're going to be good, but I don't think there's going to be too awfully many nights that are going to be dull, you know, for better or worse. It's going to be a ride, I think.
But, mostly worse.
But grass is green, you know, down there, not up here. And, you know, hope springs eternal. I'm ready for spring training. I'm ready to get down to this.
Be hopeful. It's fine.
There's plenty of time to get down later.
we can wallow in misery soon enough.
Yeah. So have you been enjoying the Winter Olympics that started a couple days ago?
Yeah.
How many hours of Olympics have you consumed so far? I'm kind of curious about that.
Well, since it's on just like, you know, normal TV, like network TV, it's one of those things where you just like throw it on and go about your life. And it's kind of like happy background. And I'm comfortable with that. You know, you kind of, you know, you're doing the dishes or you're picking up or whatever, and it's kind of in the background. So I enjoy that.
I was curious. I wasn't sure if I could see you being a total Olympics nerd, like being all into everything.
Well, there's some things I certainly get into more than others, like the skating, the figure skating. I'm just not feeling it. I love the skiing. I'm a skier. So when I was a young teenager, that was a big thing. We like to ski. So I like to watch a lot of the skiing events, the downhill, the moguls, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I get it. So let's get into the leadoff question. What is your favorite Olympics or winter Olympic sport?
Yeah, definitely the alpine skiing. And alpine is the kind that goes down, not across. Across is the Nordic. Down is the alpine. And alpine, the A is like a little mountain, so that helps you remember.
At least it should, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Or you can and remember curling... that, you know, Alps are mountains. I mean.
Yeah. I don't know what Nords are.
Nordic, like the people from Scandinavia. I think you do know what they are. Anyway.
Nords. And the curling is a close second. Shout out to our friend Matt.
Of course.
You know. Who is carrying the flag for all curlers everywhere. I like to watch the curling. There's different iterations of the curling.
Yeah.
With the mixed doubles and all this stuff. So every time I have to kind of relearn the curling a little bit, but I like to watch the curling. How about you, Hall? What are you watching?
So I have there's a couple sports that really get me going for the Winter Olympics. Like you say, the figure skating, I want none of it. I feel like anything that needs to be judged – you know, it's all subjective, whatever. You can have that. The how cool of the snowboarding tricks. I don't get that kind of stuff. But right. This is there's one thing. I actually watched it today with Whitney, and she wasn't such a fan of it, but I was. The one thing that really gets me going is the biathlon. I love the idea of the creation of the sport. Like, there was a bunch of dudes in the room thinking, okay, let's have them ski for a long time. And then, I don't know, maybe, like, have them shoot a gun or something. And then if they miss, right. They have to ski around this, like, penalty loop. Yeah, let's have that be a thing. But I don't, like,
it reminds me of chess boxing. You ever heard of chess boxing?
Yes.
It's got to like that. We're going to beat the crap out of each other. And then we're going to think. And, you know, do something strategic.
But I think it's
it's a weird mix.
I think the shooting's kind of cool, though. Whitney actually told me it's like shooting a free throw, which is a perfect, you know, you're running up and down the floor playing defense. You know, you've been skiing for, I don't know, the whole thing lasted like a half hour. So you ski for, what, like 8 or 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. And then you have to, like, calm yourself, set, and, you know, hit this tiny little target. I thought it was, I don't know, it's interesting.
You know. Should do something like that, you know, every mile that you run.
Gotta shoot
and
something.
Then you should, I don't know, play some ping pong or something, yeah. You know, well, I don't know.
I was thinking the number one finisher for Americans in the sport was like 18th or 19th. I'm like,
yeah, we can't keep up.
Well, what if I'm the guy that was supposed to be, you know, challenging? Maybe that's what I'll do for, you know. I don't know who has the Olympics in 4 years, but I don't see any reason why I couldn't pick up both cross-country skiing and shooting and learn, you know, learn them both in time to be at the next Olympics. That seems about right.
I'm looking forward to things I shot alongside of the road while skiing segment this year.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I have the fire travel and other pictures. I'm going to be down in spring training, so you'll probably want to follow me for that.
You're a regular Rick Steves these days.
Yeah, and actually, Whitney got me the box set of Rick Steves for my birthday, so I was pretty pumped about that.
Mentor.
Yeah, definitely. My Instagram is at Jordinho4, J-O-R-D-I-N-H-O, and then the number 4. You have an Instagram. I don't remember what it is.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Facebook.com/podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or however else you're listening to the show. If you do, take a screenshot of your review, tweet it to us, and we'll read it out on next week's show, and we can have some fun with that.
Some lols, as the kids say. That's, you spell it L-O-L-Z.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So let's jump right into it here, Eric. Some business has happened since the last time we recorded, but I think the headliner, of course, was the uniform changes.
This is the most important thing to me.
Silly round top and in with that pointed old English D. Matches the D on the cap. So that is something. That is something.
I have either reasonable or unreasonable rage about this, depending on your perspective. Okay, so not everybody knew this, evidently, but the hat D and the jersey D do not match, right? They didn't before.
Right. Yes.
We're just going to unceremoniously kick jersey D to the curb that served us so well for all these years?
Did it?
Like, see it? Yeah. What? Come on. I love
how many
jersey
World
D.
Series did we win with that jersey D?
Like two.
Okay, so it does date back that far. Okay. I wasn't sure. All right.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I retract my questioning of it then.
Well, I will concede the point that cap D is superior to jersey D.
I certainly
agree. I like the pointiness of it, but I like the idiosyncraticness. Idiosyncrasy?
See, I don't.
Of the unmatching Ds.
It pisses me off that it was ever not the same. Who thought, hey, let's have different ones? Like, how does that make sense to anybody? I don't care. But they're both fine. Like, they're both relatively similar. But they should match, and they should have matched.
I'm stunned at how many people never knew or didn't notice. Even people who are in this world, like, they didn't notice. You noticed? Did you notice?
I didn't notice. I'm not real, what one might say, observant, though, just of things in general. So that doesn't super surprise me.
So to me, this seemed like a solution in need of a problem. It did. To me, like, you could be a little jaded and think maybe they did this just to sell a lot more jerseys. And, you know, maybe because there's some corporate or business reasons, they want to consolidate their typography and strengthen their hashtag brand and, you know, for trademark reasons or whatever. To me, it was quaint and fun that the D's didn't match. And there's room enough for two D's.
Yeah, sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't.
Room for two Ds.
Yeah, I question, you know, you brought up the jersey sales. Baseball jersey sales can't really be that big of a thing, right? Like, they're so expensive, and I feel like nobody actually looks good in a baseball jersey. I don't know.
I feel like dude. Baseball jersey is top one out of the four major sports.
Well, that's because the number one isn't in the four major sports.
Soccer.
There is nothing better than a great soccer shirt that fits perfectly. That brings life together.
It's top two out of five.
There you go.
Still, it's good. So I don't know. I am still a little bitter about it. We had it all these years. It served us well. It's iconic. And now we're changing it for no particular good reason. Everybody else that I've talked to has been like, what's the big deal? It's a big deal to me. I care.
And if one person cares, then that's, you know, that's some those are clicks that they got for having done it.
Also, they've changed the uniform D, which looks unnormal and unusual. But they also have enlarged the D on the cap.
That
the
was
D is now bigger on the cap.
It looks unproportionate. I think it looks really bad.
A lot of people have said it looks like a gas station knockoff.
I'm not sure that I go that far, but you know, people tend to get a little bit more angry than we do. I just think that the way that the D looked before was on the hat, it just fit right. Now it's too much. Now,
I like the little D.
so many jokes. Have you seen the new batting practice hat with the tiger face on the front?
Yeah.
I actually really like those ones. The problem is the fabric on it is not – it's not like your typical new era, what, 3830. Those numbers aren't right. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's not wool feeling.
Yeah. It looks and feels different. It looks cheap, is to be honest. That's where it's at. But I really like the front on that. I kind of wish that it would have played out a little bit better.
Well, I don't have a choice. I just got to get used to it. Because nobody freaking asked me, which is
this
mistake.
This time.
Next time.
A couple more years of the show, and you just never know. So, Eric, there are some projections out for this coming season, and they are not hashtag great. Pecota, as you know, has us projected at 68-94, which, I mean, that's not good. But it is two games better than those Royals, so we got something going for us.
And it's peculiar because Pecota's got us four games better than last year. How do you figure that? We lose Verlander. We lose Upton. We lose JD.
JD for part of the year. We have no Kinsler.
We lose Kinsler. And
no Justin Wilson.
We're supposed to win four games more? And look at our August. Our August was poor. It was bad. And, you know, Mike Fiers and Martin is not picking those wins up for us.
To be fair, though, it took us a little ways into the year to get Mikey Matuk into the lineup every day. I think there's a game we can pick
good
up.
Good for a couple wins
yeah,
there.
At least right there. I think you have to – I think what they're assuming is that – the style of play will change a little bit under Gardenhire. Yeah. We'll win a few more closer games. The rotation has some bright spots that, you know, you could say that could be a little bit better than it was last year because Fulmer didn't pitch the whole year last year. You assume that he'll throw the majority of the season this year.
You get rid of Nick's defense at third, and if you're able to stash him in right, Candelario plays you a slightly more average defense.
Yeah,
and Candelario,
a decent defender, yeah.
I'm kind of high on Candelario.
Yeah, we'll get into. I feel like this is kind of a storylines show tonight, and maybe next week we'll kind of get into some more specific guys that we're into. But
yeah,
no,
okay.
I completely agree. I think Candelario, he could make a case for Rookie of the Year this year. I don't see any reason why he couldn't do that.
So okay, Pecota's got us 68 wins. You taking the over or the under, Vegas Hall?
Well, I'm gonna take the under.
Sure.
This is what I told my dad. I don't think that we're going to be the worst team in baseball, but I would be shocked if we're better than the second worst team in baseball. I think somebody's going to be worse than us, but I think we're going to give them a ride for their money there.
Yeah, our friend Evan Woodbury says, you know, they're significantly worse than the 64 wins that they were this year. And I can't argue with them.
No,
right?
I love that. That is the first thought of spring training. That, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we are worse than a 60. So, is this a 100 loss team? To me, it is.
Probably.
To me, it is. As kind of hopeful as I was last year, I'm a half empty guy this year. I'm not feeling it this year.
No, and that's fine. It'll be a different Tigers watching experience. The thing that you brought up, and I think this is interesting, is it going to be a different Tigers listening experience? Is anybody going to listen to our show down the stretch?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a race to the bottom between this podcast and the Tigers. I mean, come on. No, our podcast might be as fun to listen to as the Tigers are to watch.
Maybe that should be our goal. We'll try and be more fun than the Tigers.
Right. Speaking of fun and the Tigers, to me, this team, you know, they're bad, but they're also not very, like, plucky and likable. Like,
we just don't know the figures yet. We could fall in love with Reyes, you know, the Rule 5 pick.
Yep.
Yeah. We could. You know, maybe Leonis Martin is the new Curtis Granderson as far as, you know, robbing home runs over the fence. There's a lot of things that probably won't, but could.
I mean, make we us fell love in love team. With we fell in love with freaking Romine. So our standards
are very low. Yeah, that's a very good point.
We're very approachable.
And we have about 12 guys that could fill that Andrew Romine role. So, I mean,
we got lots of Romines.
Yes, that's
we might not have anybody better. Lots of Romines.
So let's move on to the Caravans and Tigers Fest. Not much of what you might call star power on the Caravans or the Tigers Fest. We were in Florida when it happened, but Trammell, Shane Green, and, you know, future Tigers legend Daniel Stumpf actually hit Cherry Republic in Traverse City.
Oh, yeah.
And I was bummed when I heard that that was going to be a stop on the Caravan. And I'm like, you know, I can't be there. But then after I saw, like, that those were the three that were there, and I'm like, even if I was in town, I don't think it would have been worth it trying to find a parking spot downtown to actually go in and see them. So, yeah. But
could you pick Daniel Stumpf out of a crowd?
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you gave him a jersey and a hat, then I'd be like, oh, that's probably him.
With the name Stumpf on the back. Not a lot of other guys run around with Stumpf jerseys like they would Verlander or Cabrera. Which reminds me, Stumpf would be a pretty good jersey to get. I would love to be a Stumpf jersey.
Would go well with your current.
Yeah. Quinton Berry, Daniel Stumpf. Those are two good ones.
So the two are still sold out. The tickets for that. Yeah, still sold out, but more slowly.
People still waiting in line, doing the Tigers Fest thing.
Playing euchre with Gardy, which I appreciate that he knows how to play. That's something that he needs if he's going to be managing in this state.
It's pretty much a requisite. Yeah. Yep. It just struck me as weird. Like, Castellanos was in the West Michigan Caravan, and they had the Whitecaps dinner, and they didn't even do a dinner this year. It was like a fundraiser thing, and I didn't go. So I had an opportunity to, but I was kind of busy and it just didn't work out. But evidently it's just kind of a more low-key affair. And there's just not as many guys as we know.
Yeah.
Look at the pictures from it, and it's like, okay, who is that? Now you say their name and you're like, okay, yeah, I know who that is. But like, we haven't had a lot of exposure to these guys. We don't know who they are yet.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to make spring training both really interesting and really kind of boring too. Like, we're not going to see national stories on, you know, how's Miggy doing this spring, which we actually might see that one. But
you know, are you going to get hyped about Victor Reyes?
Yeah,
you know,
we're going to see a lot of games with Victor Reyes.
Yes.
In the lineup this spring. And we're going to see a lot of games started by Travis Wood and Ryan Carpenter. And yep. I tell you what, so we'll probably see two or three Tigers games while we're down there. I guarantee you we're going to see Travis Wood start at least two of them, probably all three, which will just be dynamite. But
Barbaro or whatever his name is.
Barbato, yeah. He's growing on me. I think we should call him the Pirate.
Is there a reason for that?
Barbato. It sounds like Barbosa, you know?
Yeah. Like Barbados.
Sure. Yeah, okay. There you go.
I'm kind of buying it. Sure. Why not?
So did you see get into players a little bit here? I went off script here a little bit, but did you see Evan's article about the new and improved Drew Verhagen curveball and how that could be the big saving point for him? I'm pumped for Drew.
Missed that one.
Drew,
I missed that one.
You know, obviously last year was not a great year for Drew. But I came into the previous season with a lot of faith in him. There is something in that arm that says to me, effective late-inning reliever. And I feel like he's another one of those guys that, you know, the Tigers fans seem to think that Chris Bosio can just fix everyone. And I think that he's another one that we can go ahead and put in that list.
Right, he's got some inventory to work with.
He certainly does. There's a lot of guys that if, you know, a good pitching coach, not to take, you know, anything away from Doobie, but he doesn't seem to really have improved too awfully many of the guys. Maybe.
The thing is, it's so hard to know. You know, we're not in the bullpens hearing the advice. If somebody gets better, is it because of the pitching coach? If they get worse, is it because of the pitching coach? I mean, it's so hard to know. There's natural fluctuation. The bullpens go up and down, except for ours. It just stays bad.
Just terrible, but, yeah.
Yeah. But it's so hard to know. Same thing with the hitting coach. Oh, guys are ripping the cover off the ball. Oh, pat on the back for the hitting coach. They can't hit, fire the guy. You know, who knows?
Yeah, that's. I feel like we as a fan base have been very quick to, you know, it's easy to kind of criticize the base coaches, but it is extremely difficult to see what exactly is going on with the various hitting and pitching coaches. So, so Jordan Zimmermann, another one that you certainly can throw in that fixed category. Sounded like he thought that he was going to be kind of healthy going into the year, but this is the exact Evan Woodbury quote. Zim's original plan was to get through the entire season without another injection. You know, this is me adding. He had one today or recently in his back, but not his neck. But his doctors thought that it would be unlikely. Best case scenario would be getting next shot at the All-Star break so he doesn't miss any time.
What kind of shot is this? It's like a 4-month shot or however long that is?
Yeah, I think it's like the measles mump rubella deal.
Pumping them full of like horse steroids or something. Yeah, what's going in him?
Hopefully it's steroids. Get his velocity back up.
No. Don't take steroids.
Joking,
kids.
Of course. I gotta be honest. Until I saw this exact quote,
it's a placebo. It's a flu shot.
it's just the sugar pill. But no, going into this season, into this quote, I had a lot of faith. Like, you know what? Maybe Jordan Zimmermann can bounce back. Like, I feel like with him, he either finally gets himself healthy and is Jordan Zimmermann again, or he continues down the same injury, you know, laden path, and we probably never see anything close to return on our investment. This quote makes me really nervous that we have steered strongly in that second direction.
I have about as much faith as Jordan Zimmermann coming back as I do about Jordan Swimmerman coming back.
Which, let's be honest, he came back once.
He came back once, so maybe there's a chance.
But he's in the big koi pond in the sky right now. So
that's a deep reference right there already for the first podcast of the year.
Yeah, we just throw out Gosvaldo Garcia.
Wow.
References, and that's pretty much the history of the show. So anyway, yeah, very little in optimism for a bounce back, but he's gonna get some run out this spring, and we'll see what he's like.
If you're getting injections to like block pain sensations, I don't even know what it does.
Honestly, that sounds bad. Terrible. I don't know. I could live with that.
I just want one everywhere. Just block out everything of life.
We're probably going to want that in our eyes come mid-July. Okay, so
are you ready for a new segment?
I am. Let's move on to the new segment. You're going to have to explain this one to me.
Okay, I'll intro this, and it's a blatant ripoff of some other radio show that I heard.
The thing is, if we don't have any crossover listeners, I'm pretty sure that like frees us of any sort of.
I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm sure
I came up with this idea all on my own
in the shower. Yeah, absolutely.
In the shower, and here's how it works. It's called The Numbers, and what I'm going to do is give you a number.
Okay.
And you are allowed to make a guess, serious or non-serious, about what the number is in reference to or what the number means.
Okay.
And then after you've had a brief opportunity to respond, I will explain what the number is.
Sounds fun.
Can or cannot talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we'll try. We'll see how this goes. All right. So my first number is 56. 56. No, this is not the age of Victor Martinez. No.
I was actually thinking along those lines. Can it be like something predicted, like in the future?
Hey, why don't you try and
predicted home anything. Run total between Miggy and Victor?
No, that's a good guess though. 56 is the number of years that our home jersey has faithfully served us ever since, what is it, 1961. The Tigers have had the same home jersey every year. 56 years, half a century plus, you didn't change it. And now we're changing it because, I don't know, 56 years, it's got to be some kind of record. Leave it.
What we should have done is wait for the rebuild to be over, if it ever ends, and then roll out this new one. Like, you know, new year, new me, that kind of deal.
Yeah, so we get the pointy D on our chest, and it's going to have, leave the lingering taste in our mouth of a 100-loss team. Boo. All right.
Okay. I kind of like this game.
All right. What do you got? You got one or not?
I do not have one.
Okay. We'll go with my second one.
Because, quite frankly, I still didn't understand how the game worked until pretty much right this very second.
All right. So, fair. It's great. It's learning. My second number is 35.
Oh, I got one for this one. What? Justin Verlander's jersey number.
That is true, but not what I was after. 35 is the age in years of one Phil Cope, who is developing a knuckleball or is throwing a knuckleball, who is catching the attention of some scouts. That's right. Philip Douglas Cope, boom, he's coming back. And he's throwing a knuckleball. You can be old. 45, he's got 10 years of knuckleballing ahead of him.
My question is he throwing the hard knuck like R.A. Dickey, or is it just kind of a slow traditional one? Because I don't see Phil kind of doing anything slow.
It's magic, whatever it is. Lefty knuckleballer.
Can you imagine how many Red Bulls he had had at the time when he came up with that idea? He had to be about 6 or 7 Red Bulls in.
So Tim Lincecum's got to be about the same age. He's in the gym pumping iron, getting skinny, throwing hard. Phil's like, I'm going to throw a knuckleball. It's great. Phil works hard too, but you got to work smarter. Got to work smarter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Not harder. Sure.
All right. I like that game. We should feature that. I'll get in on the act for next week.
All right. Next time.
All right. Let's move on to your power rankings.
Oh, here's another bit of excitement. Power rankings. I've done a lot of power rankings. I think I'm going to put power rankings on the shelf. Okay. No, I'm not kidding. I might take them back. Little hiatus for the power rankings.
That's the thing about a shelf, is if you put something on the shelf, you can still have access to that thing.
It's the very nature of a shelf. Yeah. The elf on a shelf, whatever.
That's a totally different thing. Let's never go back there again.
So for 2018, I'm featuring a new feature called Beef of the Week. Beef of the Week. This isn't a cut of cow. No.
That was my initial thought. I have to be honest.
It's not like a steak or something. This is beef like disagreement. Okay. Beef like upsetness. And my beef of the week this week is tipping and tipping inflation. Let me tell you, tipping. What is it with tipping? Like, tipping's like this uniquely American experience, and it's bad. Like, does the server work for you? Do you have to pay this person? No. The server works for the restaurant. The days are long gone where the server is like under your employment. You're not in control of who you get. Right?
It's true. Yeah.
Also, it's like there's this expectation that you tip, obviously. But, like, I feel in the last decade or so, it was like 10%. Now it's, you know, 12. It's, and then you get these little recommendations, which is nice because they do the math for you. But they're like, your choices are 15, 18, or like 20%. 20% seems like a huge tip.
Really? 20% now, seems standard. I think so.
I suppose. Now, in my heart, I always tip, and I always tip fairly generously. But, like, why do I need to take it upon myself to determine the financial standard of the person doing the serving? And what is it related to the quality of the service?
For some like, people, it definitely is. Yeah.
For some people, it definitely is. But not me. Like, all right, unless you're just, like, awful, awful. You know, you're getting a standard, I don't know, like tip like 18% or something like that.
Seems fair.
But you get out of America and you're in, you know, you're Europe or whatever.
If other countries.
Other countries. It's all fine.
There are other ones, yeah.
I don't want to do math and like leave a tip. It's so stupid. Tipping's dumb.
And here's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot of times you'll see that – you can see through the waiter or waitress's behavior. Like, they're trying to butter you up for a tip. I don't want any of that extra interaction. Yeah. I will actually pay for less interaction between myself and who I'm with and you. Like, that would go, you know, way further than you trying to be extra friendly with me.
Do you feel like – the tipping has led to the increase in the amount of kind of fancy fast service restaurants? I'm thinking of Panera, Chipotle, Five Guys. That's like nicer than fast food, but you can just get your food and you don't have a server and you don't have to tip.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I feel like those type of restaurants just make a lot of sense.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know, tipping, I'm not feeling it. And just pay the people a normal wage. It's some restaurant has got to eventually break the culture and just be like, no, everything's included in your food. It's a little bit more expensive, but everything's taken care of.
Just do it across the board. It would take away so much. And then you have the old people who tip, you know, not to say that old people are cheap, but, you know, the old people that are tipping 5, 8, 10%, and that's not what the waiters
want. That's
not
fair to the servers to let it leave it up to people's discretion.
Exactly.
It's not.
Waiters and waitresses work hard.
Tipping is dumb. I wish we could change the system. That's the beef of the week.
Not a ton that I saw on the side of the road while running because, as you know, it's been winter. But I did run down in Florida quite a bit. I posted, you know, I saw some baseball players working out on the Rays backfields. But I think it was my last run before we came back home. I saw on the side of the road the biggest snake I've ever seen in my entire life. Not behind glass, just chilling on essentially in the grass. It had that like kind of camo look to it. So it was one of those deals that like I didn't exactly see what I saw until I was past it. And I'm like, oh, balls, that was a big snake. Needless to say.
Could it eat a rabbit hole?
Yes.
Or absolutely. A dog hole? You think?
I'm not sure about a dog. I know their jaws open up way bigger than you would
maybe
think.
Maybe like a Bichon Frise, maybe.
Yeah. A yappy one. Something that pisses off. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And so needless to say, I picked up my pace for a while after that, and I crossed the road before I got back to the spot where I saw it. It was like an hour later, but I'm like, I don't want to take the chance that thing is still there. So
I feel like there's kind of an inverse proportion. Like the bigger and fatter the snake, it's slower it can go.
That's true.
And then the skinnier, you know, but it's got less power, you know. So I feel like there's a magic spot where you don't want to mess with the snake. Those are the good snakes. It's the same thing with baseball players, really. I mean, there's that magic medium where you have a little power and, you know, you're not too slovenly where you can't, you know.
Yeah, like Mikey.
Yeah, he's the prototype. He's the real snake shape.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, let's move on to Twitter questions. We received a lot of questions this week.
Oh, so many. All this pent up.
Yeah, spring training is long and boring, so if we didn't get to your question this week, fear not, we will in the coming weeks. There's plenty of time to get to all of the questions.
If
we don't get to the questions, we're going to be talking about who should win the seventh bullpen spot. So, you know.
You know that discussion will happen. Before we break camp, we'll be nitpicking, and every year I'll say the same thing: it doesn't matter. And you know what? We'll talk about it anyway.
Yeah, as long as it's Blaine, I don't care.
Feeling Blaine would be great.
If you want to send us questions throughout the week, I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And just a hint: you might want to send it to either Eric or I, because we don't always check the show account. Our intern isn't on that one quite as much as we would like him to.
Our interns are garbage this year.
All right, here we go. The first one from Nicholas Haller 3. Do you think Franklin Perez will be a late August, early September call-up this season? # the boys are back in town. Now, I'm curious, are the boys in, you know, question here, us, or are those the Tigers?
And what town are they in? Lakeland?
Yeah, I feel like if we knew Lakeland's which kind town, of a mediocre town, we would know which boys he was referring to. But anyway, you should answer the question.
Okay. You know, my gut reaction was, yeah, of course, I think he will be. But then I looked it up. The dude is still only 20. The dude is 20. I think he'll probably get a cup of coffee late in the year, just to give Tigers fans something, throw them a bone.
Yeah, I feel like you've seen that a lot in the past couple of years. Like the Nats brought up Victor Reyes, Victor Robles got Victor Reyes on the mind.
Yeah, not our Rule 5 guy.
No, I would much rather if they had Victor Reyes and we had Victor Robles, but that is not actually the case. Speaking of, did you see Lewis Brinson win in the Christian Yelich deal? So sadly, yeah, that dream has now died. He is a Marlin.
I shed a half a tear for you all.
Yeah. The thing is give him 3 years, he'll be too good and have too big of an ego to make it on the Marlins, and then we can trade for him then. Anyway, back to Franklin Perez. I think he'll be up at some point. That seems to kind of be the trend amongst GMs. And I think that Avila wouldn't necessarily mind – you know, getting himself in a trend, just any trend. So, yeah, why not?
He's the same age as Matt Manning. And I feel like Matt Manning is just like this little baby who we have. Perez is the same age. Yeah.
He's
juvenile.
Far more developed and mature in his pitching style and all that than Manning. But we're not the prospect experts. Okay, next one. ALD Landia, follow up, not sure exactly to what, but Alex Wilson, starting pitcher, ?
I think he can do it. Will he be a world beater? I mean, I don't think so. As far as his, you know, he's pitched kind of middle relief. He's pitched late. He can do about anything. I think he'll be able to do this. But is his stuff so electric that he'll be able to, you know, be like a 2 or 3 caliber starter? No, I don't think so. No. But could he be a useful piece? I wonder about his leg. Are you worried about his leg at all? He broke his leg.
I don't worry about pretty much anything with Alex Wilson. Alex Wilson is a tough dude. The thing is,
he's pitched a lot of innings for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've tried this. You may remember the last time we did something like this. It didn't go so well. But right now, him training to, you know, working out to be a starter, it doesn't hurt anybody except for me when I go to see, you know, a Tigers game and he's the one starting. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, he goes back to the bullpen. No harm done. The thing is you have right now Vollmer, Norris, Boyd, Zimmerman, Mike Fiers. Like, that is the five. There's nowhere to jump in unless there's an injury, which, you know, we have several injury risks. So I don't see it. I would be surprised if he started more than a couple games this year, but why not?
You'd hope the wheels don't come off for Norris. I mean, you could envision that scenario, but he's going to get every opportunity and then an extra one to succeed.
Yeah, there's no reason not to. I mean, the talent is there. It's just all upstairs.
I think so.
All right. Our buddy Jacob Skronik asked us, if Tigers players/announcers/personalities were Winter Olympians, which events would they compete in? Who would be the figure skaters?
Go ahead. I answered all the other ones.
I think Iglesias for sure would be a figure skater.
That's what I had to. It's not even a question. He's already got the white belts.
Yeah, and not a couple. Not the couples. He would be a solo figure skater. If Kinsler were still on the team, maybe they would be, you know, the pair together. But
he's got the pirouettes. You know, he's turning his back to the infield and spinning around and.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah. Sure. I could see. I feel like Norris in, you know, snowboarding, something like that, wouldn't be all that much of a stretch. He surfs. Trying to think of what Rod would be. nothing immediately comes to mind. Something where you got to be strong, though.
Country strong.
Yeah. Maybe. And chase Asians into the outfield. Speed skating? I don't know.
Short track speed skating. Maybe.
And I think the main question is what event would Johnny Cain do? Which he could do any of them. Yeah. Probably your alpine skiing. I feel like Johnny's probably pretty good on two blades.
I'm glad we're 40 minutes into this year before Johnny Cain's name came up.
Johnny Cain is going to be a central figure of this campaign. I think we all know that. At Jeremy_Troya, the better of the Troyas, asked us, which upcoming prospect/new free agent player will Rod Allen dub country strong this year?
Who we currently have, I think the best candidate is probably Candelario.
Yeah, I could see Stewart coming up and maybe getting that moniker.
Yep. All right, you want a deep sleeper?
Yeah.
Deep sleeper, Reynaldo Rivera. Ooh. He was our second round pick in this last draft.
I think he is country strong. It's just going to be a matter of whether he ever makes it to the big league to earn such moniker. Yeah,
he's a deep sleeper.
I'd like to see kind of a sarcastic country strong for Victor Reyes, because allegedly he has no extra base pop whatsoever.
Sorry, he's country. He's kind of suburban strong, maybe some outlying. You know,
not city strong and not country strong. Somewhere in the middle.
He's got a suburban week, for sure.
At Kerba 1123 asks us, which player making at least $6 million do you anticipate having the best season? And he actually gives us the choices, which
that's dynamite.
Fires, Castellanos, Iglesias, Victor, Zimmerman, Miggy. Oh, best season for the money, worst season for the money.
Oh boy, you gonna go? Yeah. What you got?
I'll take Fires for the money. I don't know if we discussed this on the show. Yeah, this isn't the last thing that Mike Fires needed is my endorsement. But no, I like him. The thing is he's had great success in the big leagues. He's a wildly streaky pitcher. Like when he's on, he's really good. And you know when things go off the rails, you know things can be pretty not great. He kind of reminds me of Fister in that he gets a lot of strikeouts without using a ton of velocity. You know, Fister, everything was swing back, you know, stuff was moving side to side. Fires is more, you know, change of speed. When he hits spots, you know, he's good. So mark this down. What, February 12th is the date that I curse Mike Fires' existence with the Tigers. But that's who I'm going with.
Okay. Mike Fires is my worst. Here's why. Okay, here we go. Are we ready for this?
Sure.
2014, his ERA was 2.13. 15, 3.69.
Nice.
Then 4.48. Then 5.22. The last 4 years has been progressively worse every year.
That is true. But how many of those years has he worked with Chris Bosio? Because let's be honest, he's going to fix everything. Everything. Yep. That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
2, 3, 4, 5. To keep his pattern, this year's ERA will start with a 6.
To be fair, I would respect it if he kept with the pattern. I like a good pattern.
The OCD is kicking in here.
So here's the deal. No matter what his ERA is, he's still going to make 35 starts for the Tigers. You just need to deal with it.
For sure. If his arm's attached, he's getting run out there.
So, yeah.
He's gonna earn that $6 million regardless.
Worst season for the Tigers. I feel like it's a toss-up between Iggy, Victor, and Zimmerman. To be honest, I don't really see any of them having good or decent or... You know,
the thing is with Martinez and Zimmerman, you just worry about them getting hurt. You know, how much can they play?
Yeah, and if they do play, they're who knows anyway.
For the best for me is Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, that is one of the bright spots on this year. We will see one of the greatest hitters of all time playing for us. That is still the case.
That's still good. Yeah.
Two questions in a row from our buddy at Detroit underscore fan underscore in underscore DFW Dallas Fort Worth. In 2006, JV, Granderson, and Zumaya all came up together along with some veteran free agents and pushed the team to the World Series. The next time the Tigers make a playoff push, the player slash Z in the minors who will help them get there are?
All right, I'll take Matt Manning. I'm hopeful for Matt Manning because he's just got he's super toolsy. He's big athlete. You know, you can learn to pitch. You can't learn to be, you know, big.
Big and athletic, yeah.
And athletic. I'm hoping on him. The other guy I really like is Isaac Paredes.
I knew you were going there. Yep.
Just because I'm infatuated with Isaac Paredes. Because he's been so good at each level while he's been underaged. I mean, he's just wherever you stick him, he performs well, and he's playing with people a year or two older than him. And I think he could be the real deal.
Yeah, I like him a lot too. Another guy I like is Jose King. Came over in the JD deal.
He's young though.
He's extremely young. Yeah, I guess that's true. In the framework of this question, he might not. It could be wild forward making the playoffs again.
Oh yeah.
But I do think that there's something there. You know, a lot of comparisons to Billy Hamilton. Which if we had a Billy Hamilton, that would be cool.
King is that fast, huh?
He is allegedly that fast. It sounds like he has a great arm. He's so young, it's going to take some time. And I'm going to throw another one out there. I kind of think Gerber is going to be in the mix when we're good again. He's a guy
Gerber?
That...
Come on, dude. He's like 100 years old.
He is 100 years old. But this is clearly got to be one of the year... I mean, you know, the year whether he either sticks or goes. But kind of in a Tyler Collins way, like... You know, not really playing every day, but contributing here. Well, bad comparison. Maybe
if
not playing every
Gerber
day.
If you think Gerber can be Collins, you have my complete support.
He can be it doesn't take much to be Tyler Collins.
That's what I'm saying. If you think he's going to be Tyler Collins, I wholeheartedly endorse that thought.
Yeah. I think he could be better than Tyler Collins. I think he can keep his his hands under better control, too.
That's a hot take.
All right. His other question. If Rod Allen, Gibby, Jack Morris, and Simo aren't available, who would be the ex-Tiger most entertaining to go with Mario? His choices are Zumaya, Phil Koch, and Jabba Chamberlain. And then he says, why do I keep thinking of relief pitchers?
Phil's going to be pitching for the next 10 years. Yes. So he's unavailable.
Clearly spoken for.
Yeah. I came up with a couple guys. One guy I'd like to see is Placido Polanco. I always liked him. He'd given kind of a perspective of a Latin American guy.
Yeah,
he's got a nice smile. I always like Placido Polanco. Whenever he's interviewed, I'm paying attention. Rajay Davis.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
And I think there's a super obvious one.
Does he point at everything?
It's not Torii Hunter either. Curtis Granderson.
Oh, that is super obvious. Yeah.
He's charming. He looks like that guy from Psych. I mean, he does. Got movie star looks already. It's fine.
I think that's more TV star looks, but neither here nor there. So,
like Johnny King. He's got in the movie TV, daytime TV.
Johnny's a good looking dude. Let's not kid ourselves. First of all, obviously Johnny would be the next to get this gig, but he is not Tigers. He's not an ex-Tiger player yet, so... my first thought was Romine. I think Romine probably could – I mean, he can do anything. We've seen that. I think it'd be really interesting to hear Carlos Guillen on the mic. I don't really remember him talking except for having both lips just completely full of dip, which I think would make for a really interesting broadcast, at least once or twice. And I can't believe you didn't bring this up, but Lupu. Get Lupu on the mic.
Why don't you just get a basset hound?
That would be an experience.
What are they going to do? Just like look into the camera and just be like, kind of pout? Have you ever heard Luke Bacone talk?
I don't know. Probably.
No. Sure, nobody has. Nobody's ever heard him talk. I don't think ever. There's exactly one person, maybe two people in this world who have an infatuation with Luke Bacone.
I know at least one of them.
It's me and maybe if he's got a girlfriend or something. Or his mom. His mom probably doesn't bring him up as much as I do.
That seems fair.
I'm an odd person.
All right, two more. That Lenosian? Not read that one right. All right. What's with Kevin Rand's crazy Coke bottle glasses? Do they have an MRI built in or something?
He's got solid glasses. He's got a solid facial hair. He's a solid man who does solid athletic training.
Yeah.
What do you want?
He's got his style. We all have our styles.
But you go to the doctor and you want some, you know, super trendy guy? No. You want somebody who looks like they walked out of a Trans Am this morning.
And I for sure want a doctor with glasses. Let's be honest. They have to have glasses.
That's true. Leave Kevin Rand alone. His look is fine.
And I can neither confirm nor deny the MRI machine built into the glasses. I feel like that's a toss-up.
Well, you know, trainers sometimes get because they're always in the dugout, right? And they're doing nothing. So their responsibilities are getting milestone balls and stashing them away and maybe helping your team cheat. You know, you got the Apple Watch. That's what he's doing with his glasses. Maybe they're, you know, those are like the Google Glass. Ooh, you know, he's getting signs in, relaying. We've uncovered.
Yeah. We should get him to plan this show for us. He can run the Podcastianos Twitter account. He ain't got nothing better to do.
Right.
And the last one is from Tigers JUK, our buddy Jed from across the pond. He asks, what's the effing point? Cheers, guys.
And he is from across the pond, so he didn't use effing. Do you think he means with the Tigers or just means like with life?
British humor, I think it could very well be both.
It's a very existential question, really.
It's a good question.
No, come on. Be happy about life. What else do you have in your life that's like everything else is so good, like the Tigers aren't good enough for you now?
Yeah, plus he's a Liverpool supporter. It's not even like he's enjoying his soccer. That's a dig.
Oh, shall we talk about some Premier League soccer before this podcast is over, friend?
We should. Why don't we talk about the first United Newcastle matchup, and then we can get on to the one from this past weekend.
Let's skip right to the second one.
I will say, I don't know how you guys were in the bottom three with the defense. I mean, we've reached the point where nobody cares about this at all. Just you and I. I don't know how you guys were doing so poorly when you have guys that you defended that well. And Jonjo Shelvey, put him in the England midfield for the World Cup. That dude was the best midfielder in the world on Sunday.
Shelvey, man. When he wants to, he can be good. Yeah. He doesn't want to a lot. How about our new goalie?
Yeah, that dude can play. Where did he come from?
Dude's a stud. Sparta, Czech Republic.
Sparta Prague?
Sparta Prague. That's the place.
That is the place.
Dubrovka, that's his name.
Yeah, he's good. No, you guys played extremely well. We're still trying to figure out the whole Alexis Sanchez thing. And to be honest, we're still trying to figure out the whole Jose Mourinho thing. We're gonna finish second or third or fourth. Like, it's not really that big of a deal. We're not catching City. They're good.
They're so good. Yeah.
They're so good that I actually don't even mind how much they're killing everybody. They're just like, yeah, they're that good. That's what they're gonna do.
That was a super satisfying game for me to watch, though, Hall.
Yeah, I bet.
Gotta tell you.
I was I was angry but happy for you.
We needed it more than you needed it.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Very true.
Definitely true. All right, enough soccer. And probably enough of everything for this week. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric. And you can get Kevin Rand at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And once again, we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And like I said in the beginning, if you're going to leave us a review, take a screenshot, send it to us, and we can share the joy. I won't retweet it, but Kevin Rand will retweet that for you. So definitely tag him in it. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
It's good to be back. Looking forward to spring. Listen to some birds chirp. It'll be great.
Yeah, and for the most part from here on out, we'll kind of just go weekly. You can expect us usually either,
weekly means every week, not like we're weak. It's like weekly.
Yes, that definitely needed to be clarified. I appreciate that one.
Maybe we will be weekly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, I can promise nothing. I think we're all going to be pretty weekly by the time August hits. Yeah. I said all the goodbye stuff. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.